Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast made it possible for us to come to Thee, that we can open our hearts before Thee, open our minds to Thy Word, and let Thy Spirit deal with our spirit. We know we're not worthy, but Thou art gracious. We know we have sinned, but Thou wilt forgive. We know that in many things we're unclean, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. And so we come boldly to the throne of grace to ask for help in the time of need. Help us now, and particularly bless us as we study. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study in the Gospel of Matthew takes us now into the 15th chapter. And as will happen when you're reading the Bible, we will find that the subject matter changes suddenly. You can go along and be studying a certain line of truth, as for instance we were just noticing a great miracle. In the last study, you will remember, we had the miracle of the Lord Jesus walking on the water, and now you would think that when that would be through, it would seem to be proper that from then on everything would just be a matter of great impression on the part of people. Now we come in the 15th chapter, and there is reported to us, we find here the record, of a sharp criticism on the part of the Pharisees. And this is something we're going to have to get used to. In this world, the things of God are not universally accepted. Really and truly, the things of God, the things that are really true, are not going to have reception of acceptance on the part of all people. As a matter of fact, even people who claim to be good won't always follow. And people who claim to be wise won't always agree. We're going to find that the things of the Lord will be criticized again and again. And this is what we have here. Perhaps it would be well for us to read this, because this is a portion of Scripture you might not ordinarily read. And I want to read it to you just so that you can have it back again in your minds, and also so that you and I may be conscious of the fact that this is the kind of criticism that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ encounters any time. But let me read it to you now in chapter 15, the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning of the first verse. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now let us look over this passage that I've read to you, and looking into it, let us note particularly a number of these items. Scribes and Pharisees of Jerusalem. You'll remember we've been talking about those. The scribes are the scholars of the Bible, the people who claim to know what is written, and the Pharisees are the religious people who claim they're keeping the Bible. They claim they're keeping the whole law. So here you have those who claim they know and those who claim they do. And they came and asked the Lord Jesus this question by way of criticizing the disciples. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? They were referring, of course, to one of the regulations which the Jewish religious leaders had set up. In their attempt to carry out the injunctions of the Old Testament about clean and unclean, they took up this matter of washing the hands. And actually, the washing of the hands, I am quite sure, was not done so much for sanitary reasons as it was for ceremonial reasons. In other words, it's a good deal as though when you walk into the house, you take off your hat. That's not because it's going to be hot in there or anything like that. You take off your hat because it's courtesy. Well, now, the same way would be true when you go into another place, you'll put on a coat. No one would think of walking into a public reception in your shirt sleeves. You wear a coat. Well, it isn't absolutely essential. Chances are it's going to be real hot in that ballroom. And yet you put on a coat. You put on a coat because it's the custom, because it's the thing to do. It's the tradition of the people. Now, these Jewish elders, the Jewish religious leaders, had a tradition. And that would be that if a person were going to sit down to eat, you should first ceremonially wash your hands. And in keeping with, as it were, it's a sort of a tipping of your hat to the Old Testament regulation that you should eat with clean hands, that kind of thing. Now, the disciples of the Lord Jesus didn't do that. They acted like ordinary people, and they acted in that way with their food. They were not keeping the regulations, and so in the Pharisees' judgment, they were at fault, and the Pharisees come to find fault with them. Now, in the third verse, you find how the Lord Jesus deals with this. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Notice, he did not respond directly to their loaded question. We will be noticing this as we go along in all of our study of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people came to ask him questions, he did not always answer the question they asked. And there's a reason for that. When anyone comes to ask you a question, especially if he is asking a question that is actually intending to show the weakness of your position, you will know that he is asking the question that was thought to put you in an awkward place. And you could waste a lot of time trying to explain it to them, because if you finally explained it to him, he'd have another question. He'd have two more questions. He isn't wanting your explanation. All he wants to do is to embarrass you. All he wants to do is to throw, as it were, a monkey wrench into your machinery so that things won't work. Now, every now and again you come across a person who actually, really wants to know, and then you will see about helping them, because in a good many cases, the questions that are asked are not answerable. There is no way to answer them. And the truth of the matter is that your confidence in the Lord doesn't depend upon the answering of every possible question on the part of anybody. But the Lord Jesus here, he countered with a question concerning their own regulations, which voided a commandment of God. This was a lot worse. It might be that the disciples didn't wash their hands according to the custom of the Jewish elders, but they actually broke one of the commandments of God by having set up a device so that where it was, according to the judgments of Moses and the law of Moses, a son was to share whatever he earned with his parents. They figured it out that if the man was to give some of it to the priest, he could claim it was all a gift, and if it was a gift, he didn't have to give anything to his parents. And by this device, the parents wouldn't get anything, the priest would get something, and the young man would keep all the rest of it for himself. And actually, it was a device to circumvent, to get around a plain teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. They had developed a special rule that would make it all right to do something that was obviously wrong in the law of Moses, such as they had it. After he had brought this out before them, he directly says to them, "You hypocrites." The word hypocrite means a two-faced person, but actually it comes from the idea of wearing another face over your own, and you see it at Halloween anytime you want to see it. It's wearing a false face. That's a hypocrite. And, of course, you know how easy it is to do that. You get into a particular situation, instead of acting and looking the way you feel, you put on another face. And that's a false face, and that makes you a hypocrite in this sense of the word. Any number of people do it in church. No matter how they may work and how they may think, and no matter how they may play and how they may do all during the week, when they come to church on Sunday, they put on their Sunday go-to-meeting face. Well, that's being hypocritical so far as God is concerned. And he said, "Well did Isaiah the prophet say about you, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" With the mouth and with the lips, they put on one kind of a face, but in the heart they've got another kind of a face. And that was a terrible indictment. He goes on to say, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In vain do they go through their religious exercises. God isn't a bit impressed by them, because actually all that they're carrying out is their own ideas. And so here we have this criticism of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. a criticism that is inspired by folks that were opposed to the Lord. They didn't want to follow him. You will remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was setting forth before people the reality of the kingdom of God. And the reality of the kingdom of God is that God will be in your heart, and he will prompt you what to do and give you the strength to do it. You will not live your own life. You will let God have his way in your soul. This is the significance of being in the kingdom of God. Now, there were people who thought they were good. They thought they already were religious. They already were doing the right thing. They had it all figured out by going to the temple regularly, and by keeping certain rules and regulations, they kept the position that they were all right with God, and then they could do as they pleased. Yes, they could rob widows of their houses, and they could drive sharp practices in business. They could do anything they wanted to, but you see, you were supposed to think they were good because they went to the temple, and because they prayed, and because they fasted, and because they did these external things. God looks on the heart. And so far as our rules and regulations are concerned, when anyone will come along and say to you, well, we think it's all right like this. For example, you may be living in a certain church right now, and they never come together for prayer. You might ask them, well, why don't you come together to pray? Doesn't the Bible teach you to pray? And the answer would be, well, we haven't had prayer meeting in this church for so long a time. What does that mean? We've agreed together that you don't need to have public prayer. That's the way it would go. And what do you think God thinks about that? Now, that's the way it would be here with the Lord Jesus Christ. He drew attention to the fact that in their own way they had violated the very commandments of God, and yet they were trying to criticize the disciples. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us from being critical of other people in this fashion. And help us, our Father, to put our trust and our faithfulness unto Thee. Keep us obedient to Thee, walking with Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.